Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. As usual, just remember that God is right there. Eternal life is right there. He's right next to you. You already have all the eternal life you're ever going to get. You are already in the kingdom of God. You are in Him. You are fully accepted. You are the apple of God's eye. You are His chosen. He loves you. You're special to Him. You belong to Him. He is devoted to you. He is devoted to making you one spirit, soul, and body so that you can be one in Him. That's His purpose for you on this earth. You know, God's kind of a big God, and He doesn't let things get in His way. So He is working on this in your life all the time. So we've been talking about developing a personal plan to experience the supernatural. Why is that important? Just a quick summary is our soul has created its own set of beliefs, its own way of managing life, of filling its own needs without God. We call that the self. In the scriptures, it's often translated as flesh. I kind of like to use the word it's a crutch. It's a bad habit that we have developed that is now preventing God from being God in certain areas of our life. And in those areas, our soul is not able to be reunited with our spirit. And that's the goal. Your soul's natural state is to be one with your spirit. Your spirit is one with God. So when your soul and as your soul is rejoined, restored to its place with your spirit, that's when that eternal life, that healing, the presence of God, the spirit fully comes through God's spirit, through your spirit, through your soul into the natural, your natural body and into this natural realm and soulical realm. Now, none of the rest of that is important for us right now. Our goal right now is to learn to live as a spirit being that has a soul and lives in a body. I think we have a tendency to want to focus on down the road. You know, so much of what drives Christianity and draws and drives and motivates is fear or hope regarding where we're going to spend eternity. But you're already in eternity. Eternity is not something you spend time in. Eternity, eternal life, is not a time concept. It's a realm. It's where God is. And where God is eternal, is eternity. So your spirit right now is eternal in eternity. So you can already say you are already, you know, if you want to say seated in heavenly places, however. But what we often do is we get a little bit of information and we create a doctrine or belief or dream, perception about how it could fit in to suit us. And that by us, I often mean ourself, our bad habits. So if I'm particularly motivated by getting a crown in heaven with a big throne and stones and being holier than everyone else and more deserving of God's honor, and my throne's going to be closer to God. If that's something that motivates you, that's going to be a driving force of your belief system. And when you encounter other beliefs, other doctrines, other thoughts that don't line up with that, that no, we are all one in Christ, that's going to be, you know, that may not even make it to our radar. That's not something we're going to let interfere with our bad habit, that belief system. Likewise, if it's the other way, is our real, you know, motivation is to avoid hell. You know, we live by fear. You know, that God knows everything I'm doing, it's all wrong. You know, he's keeping an eye on, you know, Elf on the Shelf or, you know, Santa Claus, that, you know, he's keeping score of how I'm doing. Every time I lie, or every time I'm not compassionate, or whatever it is. Of course, you know, then there's the quote-unquote big sins, you know, murder and adultery, and we are so focused on our bad behavior that fear, because fear has become our greatest crutch, our greatest bad habit. Regardless of anything in between those two spectrums or anything anywhere in that realm, those are all nothing but bad habits that have made it into our belief system, our behavior system, the way we think of ourselves, the way we think of others. You know, when you are thinking, okay, what can I, you know, am I pleasing to God? That's a bad habit. Your spirit has already settled that. God, Jesus Christ himself settled that. Yes, you are, everyone is pleasing to God because it's not about us, it's about him. And he is love. So it's, you know, when we have belief systems that are warped for any reason, for a innumerable number of it got messed up so many different ways. But this is where God is correcting those things. Does what you believe work for you? Is it helping you to be healed, to depend more on God, to rest, to enjoy the process, to know God better? Or is what you're believing putting the weight of change on you, that you have to change yourself, that you have to be better, that you have to figure out what God wants? And that's why so many people want to be able to hear him or be around the prophetic or around the miraculous, because then they know they're in God's will. They're in God's, the center of his will. So if I'm in the center of God's will, I must be pleasing to him. And if I'm pleasing to him, he loves me and good things will happen to me. And we've all heard it. If you're in the center of God's will, nothing bad will ever happen to you. And that's just totally false. And then just look at Jesus Christ for that example. But for any of us, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So why are we doing this particular exercise? Again, it's posted as the episode info on Blog Talk Radio. We've been talking about it for a couple of weeks. And we're going to modify it a little bit over time. Just really want to make sure everybody is in understanding this. And again, we're over on Facebook if you want to DM me through there or through Blog Talk Radio or through the website at the RainersClub.org. You can just email me at Diane@therainersclub.org and I'll have a conversation with you explaining this more fully if you need to. The point is that these bad habits will continue as long as they work. It's like with any bad habits. So God lets them fail. If you believe, you know, that it's up to you to please God, you have to do better. You have to figure out what he wants and then do it. He's going to make that impossible for you. And whatever it is that you think is your responsibility as far as your relationship with him is concerned, God is not going to let you add something to what his son already did. If something that some person could do could reunite us with God, then Jesus' sacrifice and his atonement and his resurrection wasn't necessary. And this is the purpose of why there was always such an emphasis on the law. The purpose of the law was to reveal that we can't do it on our own, that it's only God who can do it, who can bring us into relationship with him, that can restore our spirit. So if you've been born again, been accepted, the sacrifice that Christ made, said, God, I understand, without you I'm dead in my spirit, I accept that you paid the price so that I can be re-enlivened in my spirit. I've been born again spiritually. I accept that. If you've done any kind of version of that, I really don't think it matters all that much. If we miss something, God catches up to us for clarification over time. The whole point being that we are in relationship with him permanently in spirit. We are one with him in spirit. And now the work begins. The work of restoring our soul. And to do that, we talked about the two sides of the coin. God does his part of healing and restoring our soul. And then we do our part learning how to live with a healed and restored soul. We've used the example of if you break your leg and you're in a wheelchair and you have a cast on your leg, you don't live that way for the rest of your life. And if that's, you know, so often, that's what we want to do. We get used to other people taking care of us, people not making demands on us or having expectation. We don't have any expectation for ourselves because, look, I've got this big cast. I'm in a wheelchair. I can't do anything. Now, people will be patient with a person who broke their leg and is in a wheelchair with a cast because it's temporary. They know that, okay, that leg is healing. Then the cast will be removed. And, yes, you'll need to go through a time period where you relearn how to walk, but then you won't need that wheelchair anymore, and you'll be able to go back to your normal responsibilities. But so many of us, from a doctrinal and relationship perspective, we, even if our leg was healed perfectly, we don't want that cast removed. We don't want to get out of the wheelchair. We like being waited on. We like being just allowed to not have any responsibilities, to not change. Don't mess with me. Don't challenge me. Don't ask me to do something. I can't do anything. You know, if I'm angry, it's because I'm in a bad, you know, situation. You have to put up with me the way I am because I'm wounded. And God says, no, you were wounded. You're in the process of being made whole. Now, you and I, our leg bone has been healed. And we're in the process of having that cast removed and doing the physical therapy and getting up out of that wheelchair. Now, we have to relearn how to walk, how to take care of ourselves, how to relate to other people eye to eye. Any bad habits we formed while we were in their wheelchair, those all, nobody's going to let that slide anymore. When you lose your temper because, oh, you know, look at all the terrible things that happened to you, you're going to have to get over that. And that's what God wants, because you're not wounded anymore. You're healed. Your leg is healed. And God's part is the healing part of your soul. And again, God does this on an area by area. If he wanted to, when he restored your spirit, at that moment, he could also restore your soul. He could correct all your misunderstandings, all your wounds, all the generational curses, anything that you're walking around with in your soul that is keeping your soul from being reunited with your spirit. He could fix that like that, in a twinkling of an eye, in a millisecond of thought. He could fix it. Why doesn't he? Because something happens in us, something new and precious to God happens through the process. I call it appreciation and gratitude, but there's also, you know, other aspects of that, and we'll probably get to that at some point in time. Just the whole idea of, and even just, yes, appreciation. You know, Adam and Eve had no appreciation or gratitude for God because he was always there. They never had to overcome anything, so they never, you know, they never even had to, you know, neither one of them ever tripped, and the other one said, here, let me pick you back up. No. They never needed anything. And when you don't need anything, you don't appreciate anything. You don't value anything. They had all their needs met. They had no lack of anything. And that's something you and I need to see what we lack in order to be grateful when God meets those needs. So this is part of our process, is increasing our awareness of what we lack, what's going on in our soul, what God is doing in our soul, what God is doing in our lives. Now, God's doing stuff whether we are aware of it or not. But if God values, and this is, again, you decide this, this might not be, you know, for everybody who's listening to these podcasts. God may be talking to you about something entirely different. Well, go with him. Go with him. Come back when you're ready, when it's on your heart. Because God gives you the desires of your heart. He gives you the desires. If he's pulling you in a different direction, go there. This will wait. But if he's pulling you, yes, I want to understand. I want to be whole. I want to cooperate with what God is doing and make the most of every opportunity that God presents on a daily basis. And that's all we're really doing. Because your soul, the soul God gave you, is the exact soul he wanted you to have. There's nothing wrong with it. Never be critical or down or, you know, upset, disappointed with your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. They are precious to God. They are God's gift to you. But your soul is different than yourself, which is your bad habits that were formed because they were formed before you knew God, and sometimes a little bit after. So there's a lot we're doing, but this is where we're at. We start where we're at, and we work on this. And God reveals himself to us as individuals, but also on a time basis. As we're learning about, you know, God doesn't skip ahead to, you know, topic X when we're still working on topic G. He's a very practical, and he knows exactly what makes sense to you, what draws you. God's love draws us. It's the goodness of God that draws us, not the fear, not the panic, not the, you know, the need for repentance. You know, you've already repented all you need to. You may need to say to apologize, but that's totally different. Repentance is turning. You've already turned. You've turned to God, and you've recognized Jesus. You need a Savior, and He is the Savior. You've already accepted Him as your Savior. That's it. So now, repentance is for the non-believer. Now, what you're doing is you may need to learn to apologize, but that's a whole different topic. It's a behavior now that needs to change. And this comes back to how are we looking at what we're doing here. And in this little practice we're doing, this little activity we're doing, the whole point is to increase your awareness, your solical senses. You have spiritual senses that are already fully aware, and you have natural senses, you know, your eyes, your hearing. And they are somewhat aware. None of us have perfect, you know, hearing or vision or sense or taste or smell. We all have varying degrees of perception. But those senses are far more comfortable. And we can, like if we know we can't smell certain things, we know that. If we can't hear certain things, we know that. So we make accommodations for that. For most of us, we are very unaware of our solical senses. And that is where our big challenges are. So we are approaching the learning of our solical senses becoming aware as simple as possible. Because God is not out to trick us. He's not out to make things as hard as possible. He starts where we are and moves us forward. So all we're doing is increasing our awareness of what is going on in our life. As God draws your attention to Himself using this little, you know, these little activities, He then has a greater opportunity to reveal Himself, to direct you, to guide you, to encourage you, to make Himself known in whatever way He chooses. And as part of that, He reveals what's going on in the soul, in the solical realm, in the supernatural realm. Any interference that you might need to deal with, any other wounds or strongholds in your life, that, you know, this gets us all into a whole, what is true prayer? You know, we think that prayer is basically figuring out God what God wants to do and then telling Him to do it. When it's really, okay, God, how do I cooperate? As you learn, you have the full power and authority of God right now in your spirit and in your soul and in your body. You're able, you know, Jesus said, greater things shall you do because I go. And yet we're not doing it, for the most part. But it's certainly not something that is as a regular occurrence to raise the dead, to cast out demons from little children, to, you know, calm the storms. There's so many different things that God has said, I'm putting you in this place so you can learn how your power and authority works. Now, being a wise God, He doesn't just say, okay, here's a nuclear bomb, have fun. He says, no, I'm taking you step by step. And we start with the basics about how our soul works. So the more time you spend, and He increases your awareness of what is going on in your life, He will draw attention to Himself and His presence. He will also draw attention to areas where you may be avoiding him or being naturally irresponsible. And we've talked about those areas of relationships and finances and health. Those categories, so far, I've not found anything that doesn't fall into one or more of those categories. So, but that's all they are. It's just these are the areas of our lives where if we are struggling in one of those areas over and over and over again, and we, you know, let's say we get ourselves in a financial hole, and then we are able to get out of it, and then we get back into that hole, and then we get out of it. Very often, that's because that's God is trying to get your attention, not even necessarily about your finances. But because so often when things are going well, we don't need God. We reserve a relationship with God for when things are going bad. And that's not good for us. That's not, we don't have that much time here on this earth. So we want to make the most of it. We want to make the most of our opportunity here. So one of the other goals of what we're doing is that getting a taste of God's goodness as he makes himself known to you will increase your thirst for more of him throughout the day, throughout the night, throughout the circumstances. And then they'll release other things that are intruding on your relationship, keeping yourself in control. And just remember, as, and we'll be going into this probably after this series, we're probably going to go into the next series about, you know, when you ask God, is that, if you ask the voice and you say, Lord, is that you, and you hear a no, we're going to learn how to deal with that, that it's not God that you're hearing. But for now, just remember that there are two voices that speak to the sheep, the shepherd and the butcher. If you're hearing something that is condemning or critical or harsh or deceptive, that's not God. If you're hearing, well done, try, you know, let's do this again, you know, good try. If it's uplifting and encouraging and loving, that's the shepherd. And there's only one shepherd. You know, yes, we have leaders within the church that are more, that are elder sheep. They're not the shepherd. There's only one shepherd. And we, God paid for the privilege. He sent his son for the privilege to be able to speak to us directly. So when we talk about, just to review, hopefully you're writing this all down on a daily basis. One of the things this does is it makes it real, it makes it objective, and it reinforces it in your soul, in your mind, your will, and your emotions. Write it down on paper. Don't type it in. Write it down on paper. And likewise, if the Lord reveals something to you, even if you don't understand it, write it down. He may say, you know, red roses. Write it down. That's something then, Lord, what do you mean by that? I'm still asking you. Last month you said red roses. I still don't understand. Am I supposed to get something out of that? The whole point is to come up with a way to structure that relationship that enhances your soul. Not your bad habits, not reinforcing the bad habits. But then that's where we get to, okay, you're going to have to give up your bad habits. And this is where, you know, we want to be able to serve God and love God and be loved by him without giving up our bad habits. And so that's how he reveals, okay, this is an area, you know, in your finances. You, every time you get into a really great job, you start a fight with somebody. Deal with that. You know, and there's a variety of ways of dealing with that. That could be a bad habit. It could be, you know, something that you learned in childhood. You need anger management help. You don't have any other communication skills. You deal with it. But you don't, God's not going to let, okay, well, we tried to work on that three times. That didn't work, so let's go on to the next thing. No, he has an order of things. And so when these things happen, when God brings these things up, don't let them just fall by the wayside. Value them and appreciate them. Be grateful for them. Lord, I thank you that I've lost my job. Now, what do I need to learn? What do I need to know? What do I need to change? And this is why we start our morning session and our evening session with 20 minutes at least. 20 minutes shouldn't be hard. And if it is, that's something else you want to ask the Lord. Lord, is 20 minutes a good amount of time? He may say, no, for you, it needs to be an hour. You have the time, and putting it to an hour will reveal other areas where you are far more invested than in getting to know me. So, again, we're just keep doing what you're doing. It's always great to hear from you and all the variety of different experiences people are having. But do remember that when you wake up in the morning and you think, Lord, did you visit me last night? And you think that's God visiting you that night. He's making himself known just by drawing your attention to, oh, wait a minute, I wonder if he visited me. That's God visiting. That's the answer is yes, he did, because he just did. So don't make it a big deal. It's not that hard, because he's already doing it. But I look forward to hearing from you. Feel free to drop me a line again at diane@therainersclub.org. We'll be getting back together again the same time next week. Until then, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.